This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Did Duke's Jalen Johnson quit on his team? I got into this yesterday with a caller. I want to get back to it a little later this hour. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Lakers get their first win without AD. LeBron James. Well, actually, this is what I really want to talk about, not the game. We know that the Lakers won, and LeBron carried the team. And what was interesting to come out of the game was not that LeBron is capable of winning regular season games without Anthony Davis. What has been making the rounds is what LeBron James had to say about a couple things after the game. One, which we discussed earlier in the show already, was when asked about the big three in Brooklyn, because, of course, the Lakers and the Nets are linking up tomorrow night, and maybe in the finals, we'll see. Long way to go still. He reminded everyone, did everyone forget about Golden State already? Is this the greatest big three ever? Have we ever seen anything like this offensively? What about Klay and Steph and KD? And my feeling is, yes, shooting-wise, sure, it's the best of all time, even better than Harden and Kyrie and KD. But the difference is Harden, Kyrie, and KD can all do the following at historically elite levels, like on the level of the greatest who ever did it. They can all get their own shot. They can all hit that shot from anywhere. There's no Russell Westbrook among them who really can't shoot from the outside that well or anything like that. They can all get their own shot at will, and they can all hit from anywhere, from three, mid-range, in the paint. They can finish, and they can all shoot free throws. And that, and by the way, they all have good court vision, and they're all very good passers. At minimum, they're all good passers. Never been anything like that. But LeBron also said something else after the game, at the post-game press, or after the win, that I think is interesting. Yesterday, Draymond Green came out, and I felt he wanted to eat his cake and have it too. When he said, there's a double standard, teams get to trade whoever they want, and they're not the bad guys, but if a player wants a trade, then they're the bad guy. Well, the player doesn't own the team. And I said, look, there are a couple things you can do here. You can form a players' league, right? And then the players are in control completely. Or you can sign a series of one-year contracts. You're a free agent every year. You can go wherever you want. And normally I'm pro-labor. But in this case, in terms of basic fairness, superstars. Now, he's talking about Andre Drummond. Yeah, it's true. He's not going to get treated the same way as James Harden. But superstars like James Harden sign multi-year deals so they have all the financial security. And in the middle of that contract, they will still absolutely determine exactly where they play. If they don't want to play in Houston anymore, they want to play in Brooklyn, mark it down. They will play in Brooklyn. What happened with James Harden? Now, if you don't want to sacrifice anything, like you sign the multi-year deal instead of signing one-year deals because you want the hundreds of millions instead of the tens of millions, right? And you still want to play exactly where you want to play and you get your way, something's got to give. And in the case of the players, they have to play the villain. In order to force their way out of town, they're going to have to play the villain. But even then, are they really vilified? Did James Harden, I stuck up for Harden when he was doing it. Listen, Harden wants out. He has the leverage. Team's going to have to trade him. And there are members of the media, many prominent members of the media, who came out and said, the way they made Andre Drummond dress and then come out in street clothes, it's not right. So it's not like teams don't get criticized or people don't understand the players' motivations. But, look, my basic point with Draymond is, Dre, if you get the multi-year guarantee and you wind up playing exactly where you want, for example, in Harden, like Draymond even admitted, because Harden dogged it. He admitted it. Then guess what? You will get criticized for dogging it to get your way out of town. Like, people will notice that. You can't have everything. I get that players actually do have leverage, and that's good. I'm happy about that. But because you signed a long-term contract, if you have to play the bad, the villain in order to get out, well, that's an extra legal or extra contractual thing you're trying to get. okay, so you play the bad guy for a little while until you get to the new team and play well, and then you're the good guy again. I didn't agree with Draymond. However, LeBron James does agree with Draymond. Listen to LeBron.
From a team's perspective, they've controlled the narrative. They've controlled the narrative of how players should be, how they should act, how they should treat their organization. And if things don't go their way, they have a way of getting out the narrative that this person or that person is a bad fit or was a cancer to the team or whatever the case may be. So they've always controlled that narrative. And I think Draymond and a lot of us, we understand that we would love to have change. We want change. We not even want change. We just want people to understand that it's two sides of the coin. It's not just one-sided.
I understand LeBron's broader point because there's been a dynamic that's going to – it's a little tricky to explain, I think. But there's been a dynamic, and this goes through the history of this country, and maybe it's really just tied to human nature, that when labor becomes empowered, there's a sense that the working man should somehow be against that. And that's partly because I think most working people don't get to tell their boss what to do. But some people do with extraordinary leverage in their profession, like a superstar in the NBA. And that creates some envy. And I think also a lot of the press has kind of come down against labor in that situation. And that's partly because the press is owned by extremely wealthy, once upon a time, robber barons and industrialists. And today, you know, tech giants, conglomerates that are, you know, owned by extremely wealthy people, obviously. And there is an incentive to paint labor that is too powerful in their eyes as the bad guys. Let me give you an example. When Joe DiMaggio, once upon a time, held out for more money, you'd have articles coming out, well, why he gets $100,000 a year to play a child's game. Never mind that the owners made millions of dollars a year to bring you a child's game, right? Never mind that Joe DiMaggio had to work his entire life, be blessed with extraordinary talent, and work his entire life to get to that point. It's not like he just won a lottery ticket. But that's the way it's been painted. And so the athletes are painted as spoiled. I understand in a broad way what LeBron is talking about there. But insofar as like, you know, you may think it's unfair that capitalism means that people who've amassed large pools of capital, even if they've inherited the money, get to own things and at least negotiate with labor, if not dictate terms. In other words, they're in charge. You may feel that's unfair, but that's the way things are. And if the players, as I said, want more control over where they play year in and year out, they have to give up from some financial security. Now, by the way, in a superstar's case, like James Harden, it's not like he's giving up security, it's true. But it's not like he can't live forever on the money he'd make in 1 year. If he can sign a one-year deal for $35, $40 million and be fine, right? But he wants the $200-plus million. All right, so if you want that, you're going to trade away some years of control. And as I said, the crazy thing is, he doesn't even really. He still gets to go where he wants. In the end, he'll play exactly where he wants. But he's going to have to jump through some hoops that are going to make him look like the bad guy in order to get there. That's life. Like, you ain't going to have everything. Marcus is there. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Give me a call at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Marcus Spears, ESPN, NFL analyst extraordinaire. What's going on, big fella?
What's up, my man? How you living?
I'm doing my thing, Marcus. Please, superstar of various media platforms. Marcus, Deshaun to the Panthers. Look, I admire the fact that Tepper was like, Ron Rivera and Cam were a good combination. I'm trying to be great. See you later, guys. Good isn't good enough. I admire the fact that he looks at Deshaun Watson and says, I don't give a damn about anything else. I want to go get Deshaun. I get it. But Marcus, if Miami wants Deshaun, I don't see what the Panthers can do to get him. What do you think of the offer? McCaffrey, a running back, coming off an injury, making a lot of money and three firsts from the Panthers. Should the Texans jump on that?
No, they shouldn't. Because it's not a quarterback involved in that package potentially. And I understand what people will say about the draft. And obviously that's going to be enticing for them as well with no first round picks for the Texans, that is. But you getting Christian McCaffrey, getting a great player, but you getting that, you getting Christian McCaffrey doesn't help your team at all. So I just look, man, Houston needs the capital. They need players, but Miami, if they are going to involve Tua in that situation, that's the part you have to listen to. Or if the Jets are going to involve Sam Darnold, that's the part you have to listen to. Now, if the Panthers said, yo, we're going to send, which I don't think would be enough, but we'll give you Teddy B and three firsts, something you have to think about because you feel the need of the position you need to fill.
But why would Deshaun take that? You see what I'm saying? Like, here's the thing for me, Marcus. If you have a no-trade clause, I'm not going to some bum squad who just gave up all their ability to get better through the draft to play on that team. The thing about Miami that's unique is they got the number three pick not because they stink, but through a trades, right? So they got a good crew already. They're a very good team. They're well coached. It's warm weather. It's a no-tax state. They can put together the best package with Tua and multiple firsts and even seconds. And if I'm Deshaun, I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, even with all that, they're crewed up. I can win down there. Why would he say yes to the Panthers?
He shouldn't say yes. I was just explaining it from the Panthers' point of view.
Right.
Like, he shouldn't say yes. Everybody can be on record for what they would do and how crazy they go to get Deshaun. But obviously, putting a no-trade clause in there, this is one of the reasons you put it in there. Because you don't want to go to some bum city, bum team that's – like, Deshaun understands right now from – let's talk football. Let's not get into Deshaun and Cal McNair or anything. Let's talk football. Deshaun on a team that's in a rebuild.
Right.
And he is a star quarterback.
Yep.
He don't want to be a part of that from a football standpoint. And the only reason he's in that position is because of the decisions that's been made by the Houston Texans brass.
Yep.
So him looking strictly from a football position, you don't leave Houston and go to another team that's in the same situation, the team you're trying to get out of leaving from a football standpoint. Like, it's not football why Deshaun is trying to leave. That's a part of it, but the major part, obviously, is the impasse that he seems to have with ownership and everybody in the front office. But, yeah, it would be crazy for him to have a no-trade clause and then accept the trade to a team that's going to be in the same situation he in Houston.
By the way, the Houston situation, Jack Easterby, hey, you said you want to talk about football? Cal McNair, when you take the team chaplain, I don't care how great a team chaplain he is, and you give him control of the franchise, this is what you get. You go from playoffs to no DeAndre Hopkins, Deshaun Watson wanting out, all the greatest players in the history of your franchise denouncing you and the team. I mean, he might be a great chaplain, but listen, you may have a great dentist. If you're on trial for your life, you're not going to use him as your attorney. You know, like, what are they doing in Texas, in Houston? Marcus, I want to ask you something about an idea you've had. A little birdie tells me that you have an idea for the Tampa Bay Bucks as though they need to get any better. What's your idea?
That they should try to get OBJ.
Yep. Mm-hmm. How do they do that?
Well, Godwin leaving. I'm assuming that Chris Godwin is going to get number one money thrown at him from somewhere. And I don't think you re-sign all of the veterans, right? Shaq Barrett should be a priority. Mm-hmm. Player you need to keep. Levante David right there close because you want to have him and Devin White together, but
you got to keep Levante David. He's got seniority on the team. He's an excellent player.
Yeah, it's easy to say you got to keep him, but this is first shot at getting some crazy money. So you know how fast this stuff changed. Like, yeah, everybody going to stay in town because we 2 weeks fresh off of a Super Bowl. But when when money time starts and all these teams putting together these packages to pay you 20-plus million, all that Super Bowl and how much brotherhood you got go out the window when you ain't never been paid.
Oh, Lord, could you imagine Odell on the Bucks? You have Odell and AB and Mike Evans and Gronk And, by the way, you know who people aren't thinking of? O.J. Howard and Brait. It might be easier just to franchise Godwin, though, you know?
Right, right. And you could. But you also, when you franchise, you up against the cap. I don't know receiver's number, so I don't know how much that would cost them to tag him and then try to pay those other guys. I would imagine it would be harder. You could almost try to restructure OBJ deal to make him I think he got like 3 years, 45 left on his deal anyway, which is not crazy money for a receiver of his used to be stature. We got to find out too if OBJ is going to come back and really do his thing. But I just paired him with Tampa because we've seen wide receivers in their careers like this play with Tom. You understand that he wouldn't have to be the guy there. Which may bode well for him, man. Like, I don't know where OBJ is in his mindset of where he is in his career either, right? If it's the winning side, if he's trying to get to another deal, if it's trying to prove that he's still a guy we thought he was going to be in the future Hall of Famer and all of that, I don't know what the reason is. But when you look at the track record of Tom Brady with veteran wide receivers and guys that were not either ousted or – you know, trying to find a place to go lock in. Brady has been a guy that they've gravitated to. And you look at Tampa's situation, they got a chance to run it back if they get it right in free agency. And OBJ has a chance to go somewhere where he's playing with a quarterback that we're not going to say is better when he's not on the team.
Now, Marcus, before I let you go, you played defensive end for how many years in the NFL?
9, brother.
9 years at defensive end. J.J. Watt, when I think of the greatest defensive ends ever, if J.J., I'm thinking of my all-time defensive line. J.J. Watt's got to be on it. Like, Aaron Donald's got to be there. So who are you going to choose between Reggie White and Bruce Smith and J.J. Watt? Because he's right there with all of those guys. But he is closer to the end than the beginning. And he's, as I said today on First Take, he's not J.J. Watt anymore. He's like Jay Watt. But even Jay Watt is a pretty good player. Where do you think he should go?
Where he should go
is
Kansas City. That's where he should go.
That's a good point.
And reason being is because, one, they need him. That's number one. Number two, he wouldn't have to be the guy on that defensive line. That'll be Chris Jones. Mm-hmm. But he could absolutely help free up a lot of things for Chris Jones and Frank Clark. And Frank Clark and Chris Jones can free up some things for him. J.J. is an interesting study, though, in this offseason because he plays multiple. He can play a 3-4-4-3. You can use him as a pass rusher on the inside as a 3 technique, or you can put him on the outside and let him rush from a defensive end spot. So quite naturally, it's going to be a lot of attention that he gets in free agency because he fits a lot of molds and what teams want to do. And he's still, I would say, a high above average pass rusher when you get him in one-on-one situations. So a lot of things are going to be intriguing, but where it should go is Kansas City. I know Pittsburgh is there because his brothers are there. Pittsburgh not in a position to win right now. They don't know what they're doing because of Ben, the contract situations that's going on there. Green Bay is intriguing, but Green Bay is young. They got Clark and the kid that came, Rashawn Gary, that came out of Michigan, who came on, got the Smith brothers. Like, J.J. can go fit anywhere, but if I was him, I'd be looking hard at Kansas City if they called.
Kansas City is a really interesting idea because they really do have a need. It's not just him glomming on with some team. They have a need where he could actually make a real contribution toward a championship instead of just joining 100%. A team that's already there. You know, like Kansas City could use help on the defensive line in a variety of ways where J.J. can really help them. I think it's a good idea.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that was my thought process from the beginning, man. Like, because he's not done. He's not the 60-70 play, make 10 plays out of that 60 and 70. But if you put him in there for 40, he'll give you 5 or 6 plays where he going crazy. And J.J. may still be, like, look, if it hadn't been for injuries derailing him, he might be a 4-time defensive player of the year.
Yeah, he's, I mean, he I, still, listen, He's one of the greatest of all time. I can't say that Bruce Smith was better than him. You know, Reggie White for longevity, you could say, but like an Aaron Donald, I don't know. J.J. Watt at his best was Aaron Donald. It was the same thing, except one guy's on the inside, one guy's on the outside. They were like the LT of this era, just a different position. If he's fallen off, there's a long way to fall and still be a great player, a very good one. Marcus Spears, what do you got, NFL Live right now?
You already know, 4 o'clock, baby. We're turning up again like we do every day.
Yep, you do every day. I can verify. That's a great show. The great Marcus Spears, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN NFL analyst. And that was Breaking Moves with ESPN football analyst Marcus Spears.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
Marcus joined us on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
There's been enough interest so far to make everybody think that Carson Wentz is going to get traded here in the coming days or weeks.
If I look at places that he could potentially go, who's going to be the best at rehabilitating his psyche?
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Did Duke's Jalen Johnson quit on his team? I got into this yesterday with a caller. The caller had an interesting point. I want to get back to that in a second. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But I want to start with the NFL. Should the Eagles make Carson Wentz battle it out in training camp? Here's Ron Jaworski, Jaws, former Eagles quarterback, of course, on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin in the morning right here on ESPN Radio. Take a listen.
If you ask me just on a pure talent perspective, I think it's Carson Wentz, but that is not how this has played out. I believe that he has tremendous God-given talent. Jalen Hurts played well in 4 games, but I just don't think the sampling is big enough to say, yeah, Jalen Hurts should be the quarterback. Go to camp. Let 2 guys battle it out. Isn't that what competitive sports is all about?
Look, Ron Jaworski knows a lot more football. Like, as I said on First Take, he's forgotten more football than I'll ever know, of course. I'm not questioning his football acumen. I just disagree with him here. Carson Wentz is a more talented quarterback than Jalen Hurts. More arm talent, for sure. Carson Wentz, though he's not moving how he did before his injury, is still a mobile quarterback. Carson Wentz is very tough. Carson Wentz wants to be great. But Carson Wentz doesn't take accountability. He's not really willing to look in the mirror. Part of that's the organization's fault. They've enabled him. But his mechanics are shot. The two teams, it's not coincidental, the two teams that are interested in him maybe are Indy and also Chicago, because they have Reich, head coach of the Colts, and DeFilippo, passing game coordinator for the Bears, who've both coached Carson Wentz and believe that they can tear it all down and build it back up again. But that's what it's going to take. It's a reclamation project. Carson Wentz leaked stuff to the media the day of Jalen Hurts' first start in the NFL. If Carson Wentz, he has no interest in being a backup. If he can't start, he wants a trade. What? Yeah, really, Sherlock? You have no interest in being a backup? Who has interest in being a backup? Of course you'd rather start. Carson Wentz has no interest in his job being taken from him. Well, if that's true, then you should have run the offense the way Doug Peterson wanted you to. Let's be honest. So he was that is a chemistry killer. That's a team underminer. It's a guy whose mechanics are shot. It's a guy whose decision-making is shot. Internal clock shot, like timing off. Why would you want him to quarterback your team? But even if you do think he's a reclamation project, because once upon a time, in 2017, everyone's like, oh, Jaws was like, he's great for 4 years. No, I disagree. He was great for 1 year. He was good another year, and he's been falling off ever since. It's not like suddenly he stunk this year. I saw it second half of the year before. I started pointing out, Wentz is getting worse and worse and worse and worse, and it continued this year until he was no good. Pro Football Focus had him 14th 2 years ago, 14th 3 years ago, right? But last year, 31st out of 31 out of 32. He fell off. Got worse and worse and worse, and, you know. So he might be a reclamation project, but not in Philadelphia. That's a change of scenery guy all the way. Got to get out of Philly. Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline.
Your first reaction to the news of opting out.
What he's trying to do is protect his draft stock. But at the same time, you have a responsibility to your teammates.
If you're cleaning out your locker, you're quitting the team. To me, he didn't opt out. He quit.
All right, so listen up. Here is a caller on Tuesday to this show, yesterday, on the Max Kellerman Show, talking about Jalen Johnson, the difference between quitting and opting out, right? I said, well, look, I don't know that you're quitting. You're opting out. You're looking out for number one. You're just playing in a glorified minor league, whether people like it or not. And this is what the caller had to say about Jalen quitting on teams.
Hi, Max. I just wanted to talk to you about Jalen Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Wisconsin in here, state champion his junior year. Mm-hmm. And then actually you're talking about minor leagues of the college athletes. He went to the IMG Academy. Mm-hmm. And quit on that team halfway through and came back to Wisconsin. They didn't have state tournaments last year because of COVID. I was really looking forward to seeing him play Jonathan Davis, who's starring up at Wisconsin right now. But he did that there, and I don't know the situation why he did it, but if you were a GM of an NBA team and you saw a guy that quit on your college team...
This is a good point. We don't have time to really get into it, but it's a good point. I'm going to talk more about this tomorrow. Right, so there really wasn't time. We're running out of time in the show, but I thought it was worth bringing back this idea. Look, the caller's point, where I take that is you can look out for number one. And so you can quit, whatever, just ditch the program. Well, it's not, coach can say it's not right to do to your teammates, and who analysts can say that, but you got to look out for number one. But if you do that consistently to the point that GMs around the NBA look at you and say there are red flags there, you're not looking out for number one anymore. You're actually hurting yourself. You do have to balance your own short-term self-interest. In this case, even long-term self-interest. In this case, with other interests, with other of your own interests long-term. You certainly don't want that reputation. And then that gets to a deeper point. Well, why would you have that reputation? Because legitimately, if you keep quitting, you're not showing enough regard for anyone other than yourself. So even if you are self-interested, it pays to not be so self-interested. And ultimately, you say, well, that's just because now he's incentivized to be more of a team guy. But inside, who cares what's inside? Like, you can't change people's hearts necessarily. But if their behavior conforms to what you want, that's the most important thing. I thought it was an interesting point, really, that the caller at least led me to. If I didn't have time, there was no time in the show to hear where the caller was going. But it made me think of that for sure. All right, coming up. Should the NBA be having an all-star game at all this season? I'm going to get your calls. I'm going to talk about that. Last take. It's time for some straight talk. Your tax return could look different this year. And you're going to still hear a lot of noise about how to spend it, of course. So when the big carriers tell you to splurge on the latest nonsense, just tune it out. Listen to this. With straight talk, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199. Plus, listen to this, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense, tune into Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Last take coming up. Still have time to give me a call. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by on ESPN Radio. It's presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
By the way, before I get to the calls, real quick, Tom Brady just tweeted the freshest thing. He tweeted this thing out where he said, I love talk radio, right? That's how it was captioned. And at TB12 Sports, and it's a video of him killing everybody in the playoffs in the Super Bowl. And the sound over it is, or under it is, Tom Brady's done. It's like a bunch of me and a couple other people saying Tom Brady's cooked, he's finished, and da 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 da. It's fresh. I got to give it up. Even though I'm the bad guy in this scenario, fresh is fresh. This is I can't stop watching it. All right. Tom in Ohio, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, you were talking last week about no black owners in the NFL. I just was curious, has there ever been a black family or person tried to buy an NFL team and got turned down? Thank you.
I don't know the answer to that. It is you or how many times? I believe there have been, but how many times it's been tried? You need billions of dollars to own an NFL team, and there's a reason that not a lot of black people have billions of dollars, and it's not because intrinsically they have a hard, you know, they're not good at making money, right? So, but I would say that that should be encouraged by the NFL, whether you have to put groups together or not in order to come together and buy a team. So-called minority ownership should be encouraged. Unless you think the racial status quo is a good thing, in which case I'm sure you're very happy with what's going on. Tony in Los Angeles. Although it's an honest question with an answer that I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. Tony in Los Angeles, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. How's it going? I love the show. Just want to let you know, pitchers and catchers reported today. What do you think about the Yankees getting Tyone and Kluber and Jay Bruce? Kind of reminds me of 2009 when we made all those pickups. And
The difference is, look, Cashman is very good at buying low with potentially high ceiling reward. He did it with outfielders like Nick Swisher and Curtis Granderson once upon a time off of bad seasons. But usually he opts for that choice. Like when Xavier Nady and Jason Bay were both available, the Yankees wind up with Xavier Nady because he's cheap. And because the Steinbrenners cap what Cashman can spend because of luxury tax repeater stuff, he tries to figure it out creatively like this. So I get the Kluber signing and the Tyone signing, and I think they were smart. But it would be nice if the Yankees could get it to where they don't have to worry about, well, this is a high-risk, high-reward, or low-risk, high-reward type of signing, and can sign more blue-chip guys not coming off of injuries. Although, look, when Severino gets back, I'll tell you what, if either Tyone or Kluber, is most of what they are, and Severino is too. With Gerrit Cole now, that's dangerous. Chris in Anaheim, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hello, Max. I was just calling. I'm a diehard Indianapolis Colts fan. I just want to ask, everyone's talking about Deshaun Watson going elsewhere. Why not go to Indianapolis, get some revenge on the Houston Texans? I know everyone's talking about Wentz reuniting with Frank Reich. I'm not really a big fan of Wentz, but what do you think if that plays out?
Well, okay, this is what I'll say. That's not a bad idea. If Deshaun Watson were on the Colts, they would be a top three favorite to win the Super Bowl next year because they got everything else you need. What are the Colts going to give up to get Deshaun? And from Deshaun's point of view, while it's an attractive football place in terms of the on-the-field stuff, it's not a warm-weather place. It's not the coaching staff in Miami or the front office in Miami in terms of, you know, like if you're talking about as the previous caller said, you know, like you talk about there's no black ownership. Have groups tried to own teams and been turned down? Have you know, African-American potential owners been turned down? But there is African-American representation at the head coaching and GM level. And it's a warm weather city with no state income tax, and they're loaded. So if I have a no-trade clause and they have the most to offer and I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm making my way to Miami. Ryan in Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's up, Max? Just following up with from that last call there. What would you go with? You agree with Stephen A. and you go with Jacoby Brissett, or you try to make the move for Wentz?
I wouldn't want Wentz, and I don't think Brissett, frankly, is good enough. If I'm the Colts, I'm looking in the draft. I'm trying to maneuver so I can grab one of those quarterbacks in the draft. In terms of guys who may be available, I think if Jimmy G were available, I would keep a very close eye on Dak Prescott and see what's doing there. In other words, quarterbacks who don't come with the same price tag in terms of treasure or draft picks, at least at the moment, that Deshaun Watson does. I would look for an upgrade at quarterback over Brissett, and I don't think Carson Wentz is the answer. And I'm forgetting someone who would be like upper middle class quarterback who wouldn't be a bad idea. When it comes to mind, I'll say it. All right, here's my last take. I thought the NBA is too far down the road. Have the All-Star game, right? It pumps up the league. They need it right now. The sports world needs it, but especially the NBA. Short-term revenue and long-term projecting, you know, and growing the sport. But number one, the players don't seem enthusiastic. And number two, this is really number one, it's one thing for players to travel to different cities, and if someone has COVID and they have to contact trace, you can try to, you know. It's another thing to have 25 different cities, let's say, send people to the All-Star game, and now they go back to their 25 different cities. And if anyone had COVID and you're contact tracing now, that's a real vector for the disease. So when you combine that with the fact that the players don't seem enthusiastic, maybe it would be better not to have it this year. I do think they're probably too far down the road. I do think it's going to occur. That's my last take today. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, Shanahan Golic Jr. coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.